Great evening, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and I have wonderful men in the studio. I feel so fortunate and, chosen.
You are the chosen person.
I am. How are you, honey?
I'm good. I'm Dave Corrado, and sitting next to me is Art.
Yes, please introduce yourself.
I don't know his last name.
Sure. My name is Art San, master therapist here at Sports Massage Extreme.
Okay.
I'm also your neighbor.
Which is lovely. And we're so happy to have you because we're going to talk about a few things, but mainly about sex and pain or
Absolutely.
How to remove pain via sex.
Okay.
Which is always a good idea. I think I've been using and abusing it for the longest time. But let's start, with you introducing what you do and tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. First of all, my name is Art San. I'm a recovering social worker, and I've been in this field as a sports therapist / medical massage therapist for the past 12 years now.
Right.
And previous to that, I suffered with chronic back pain for about 20 years.
So yourself?
I know firsthand what pain is like and how it affects or can interfere with healthy
sex life.
Sex life, exactly.
Yes. And the thing is, most people suffer or deal with pain of different sort. And they kind of don't really realize how big of an impact it puts on their love life or sex life or romance or whatever it is, or just functional, on a functional level. So if it comes from your personal experience, obviously you would know best, but give me like a story from the top
sure.
of your head.
I'll tell you, there's three absolutes I tell my clients.
Yeah.
The first one is we're going to pay taxes. Second one is we're going to die. And the third one is as long as we're living, we're going to experience some level of acute or chronic pain.
Okay.
And my job is to help interrupt that for as often as I can.
Right.
For the longest period of time as I can.
Yes. So when you see, and I'm going to relate to myself, of course, because I lay everything out there, as we all know. So when you see women, especially, what's the most common complaint?
Well, one of the most common complaints would be TMJ and then migraine headaches.
Okay.
Now, TMJ, you might want to... Oh, it's a jaw.
Temporal mandibular joint disorder.
Right.
And
okay.
I think 7 out of 10 women experience that.
And you get a lot of complaints about migraine.
Migraines as well.
Because I am one of your patients.
Exactly.
And
you're
and
one
I'm
of my
suffer.
More challenging.
Yes, very challenging I am.
You have migraines?
I do. I suffer from migraines chronically. And, since I was in kindergarten, I encountered it and I haven't been able to get rid of it.
Hmm.
And Art has been very helpful. But I want to say something about myself and in general, also empirically, sex has been known to be very beneficial to migraine sufferers, especially, first of all, I want to say that the majority, and you'll probably agree, the majority of migraine sufferers are women.
Correct.
Very high percentage, close to like 70 or 80% of the sufferers are women. And even to the extent that recently they come across a study that kind of found that there is a connection between the X chromosome and that problem. So there's more, because males have a Y, women have more tendency to have that problem. And it's much more difficult to treat. But I want to say that when it comes to try and, kind of lower the pain and make it more bearable, approximately 60% of women claimed that when they climax, it helps them relieve the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 30% did say that it got worse. And don't touch me and just stay fucking away from me. Stuff like that. But 60% did say that any sort of climax, whether it was, and this is very specific to, I need to mention, that the relief is in the orgasm. So that can be via masturbation or, partnered sex.
Right.
Whatever you fancy better. But I would, of course, support partnered sex. But if you don't have a partner right there, you should definitely play with yourself all the way to the climax.
Absolutely. I want to add something to that.
Yeah.
Again, there's an emotional release. It's also associated with that climax. There's
right.
also a release of tension. not only that, but you're releasing endorphins and some dopamines.
Very true.
To go hand in glove with that as well.
Right, so right.
It is temporary, and yes, any kind of relief when you're having migraines.
Right, and endorphins act like a sedative, like something that, you know, kind of numbs and makes you more, you know, makes everything more bearable. But it is also known that certain people have the ability to reach that release of endorphins quicker than others, what you may call as a runner's high. Hmm. Some people get to it within like 10 minutes and some people take like 40. So it depends. Hmm. And if I want to talk to all my lady listeners, the audience of ladies, please practice masturbation as often as possible so you'll get to that climax and the release of endorphins quicker. Yes. Please, yeah, Dave.
I was just curious. I'm not an expert in the field of back pain, but I've heard that Dr. John Sarno is like, have you read Healing Back Pain? I listen to Howard Stern a lot.
Right.
And he talks a lot about, Dr. Sarno believes that a lot of it is mental or, you know.
Pain?
I mean, certainly, definitely if you have an injury in your back, that'll cause pain. But some of it might be psychological, perhaps.
Well, there's many schools of thought of that. I personally believe that, obviously, if you're doing certain sports, certain activities, and it's repetitive use, obviously there's going to be tension that's going to build up, and there's going to be some pain associated with that. Sure, some people may say there's some emotional, you know,
right,
blockage.
Yeah, definitely there is, but I think that there has to be something that is more
current,
tangible.
And tangible, exactly.
Right, I believe. And yeah,
I have been very lucky in the fact that I don't suffer from backaches. I've gotten a couple of migraines in my whole life.
Yeah, but that's like random.
Yeah.
Like tension headache.
Yeah, like I see spots and stuff like that.
Yeah, I see spots all the time.
I'm seeing spots right there, over there right now. But it's from that disco glow.
Globe.
But yeah. Backaches... Whenever I've had a backache,
yeah.
You don't go to the gym. You told me.
No, I don't work out at all.
You don't work out at all. Mm-hmm. Every time I've had a backache, if I went to the gym and just did a little bit of lifting, it went away.
You're done. Oh, it helped.
No, yes. No, yeah. Not even necessarily doing like back exercises, but any kind of lifting for some reason.
Released it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Art? Is that does that make sense?
I don't know if you're very sedentary overall. If that's...
Well, my day job, I sit at a computer all day.
Right,
just your being able to move and stretch, just relieve
that's
that little...
That's the release,
tension.
Probably.
But most people, you know, again, like I tell them, if you have to go down and do 5 push-ups for your back to stop hurting, or if you have to do certain, you know, exercises or certain stretches for the next 10 minutes, or when you wake up and you have to lay in bed for 5, 10, 20 minutes before your back stops hurting, something is not normal.
Okay,
something
because
needs to be
it
done
shouldn't
about
be.
It. Should not be.
Okay, you should be just up and running as you wake up.
Absolutely. As I explained to my clients, healthy muscle, ligament, and tendons that are not injured or inflamed should not hurt when they're pressed on or even when you're stretching. I mean, there should be, you should feel a stretch. It's a healthy stretch. It should not be painful.
Right.
So forth.
Right.
I take an Aikido class once a week for 2 or 3 hours.
And, yeah.
There's
That's
a lot
long.
Of stretch. Yeah, but, you know, we start out by stretching, and which is like, once I started stretching, I had muscle injuries I didn't even knew that I had.
And the muscles, you didn't know that
Well, it's like suddenly I couldn't even sit like in a cross-legged, because my one leg hurt. Now I'm so limber, I mean, I can.
Oh my God, I'm jealous.
It's helped me out a lot, actually, and also it gets the blood circulating and.
No, of course, and it's a very good functional theme for your erection as well.
I would
assume.
I'm still, everything still is in
intact
working
well.
Condition. Yeah. not quite the way it was 20, 30 years ago, but
yeah,
you know,
well,
still.
Well, you know.
It's still a...
There are no complaints, you say.
Exactly.
Art, tell me, you see people that have like sex injuries, like for instance, from oral sex or...
Well, for instance, TMJ.
Yeah.
You know, your jaw.
Yeah,
when your jaw is very tight and it's difficult to open up your mouth, and then you're expected to give your boyfriend a blowjob. You know, that's going to cause added stress on the
jaw. Oh my God.
Jar.
It's like, so what do you do?
So, again, what you want for somebody that's suffering with TMJ, of course you want to use cool packs prior to having oral sex or whatever, and just press along the jaw area with the cool pack or
before
and after, obviously. And just be aware of that.
A lot of preparation.
A lot of preparation. Especially, for instance, guys that they're worried about their back going out or something like that. Obviously, proper stretching before and after is very important.
And same goes for men that perform cunnilingus.
Absolutely, because again, people don't realize.
You can get a stiff neck if you're, I mean, if you're in the.
If you can visualize,
I can visualize. Yeah.
So this guy's having to, one, prop up some legs and at the same time, lick profoundly.
Right.
And again, that's going to put stress on the jaw and
also
the back of the neck.
It's a while, right? It's not 2 minutes.
Exactly. It could be 15, 20
exhausting.
Minutes or more.
We are
know.
Just,
heck,
forget
yeah.
it.
Insatiable.
Insatiable. Just keep on working
that's
down
right.
there. Yes, that's good.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But the thing is, it's an interesting thing because I find most people will not connect these two.
Sure.
I mean, they'll just endure, some pain, and they'll realize, they'll say, oh, when I do this, I feel this or that. But they're not going to really make a connection between
Nor will their partner even be aware of it or be sensitive to it.
Right, or try to. So no face fucking, no. Yeah,
right.
Maybe a different kind of way.
Because, that can trigger a migraine. It can trigger,
Oh, definitely.
The jaw to lock in place. It's just,
right?
It's not a pleasant
lock
experience.
Lock in place sounds like a really painful kind of thing.
Yeah, not pleasant.
That's one. I've never had that temporal
mandibular. Yeah, it's more common. I think 7 out of 10 women will experience TMJ or some at some level.
So we're screwed on every level because we have migraines and TMJ and all of the above. Women suffer from everything.
Well,
and we take a while to climax. So I don't know where's the, it's not fair, but okay, yes.
I'm sure there's advantages too.
Oh, of course. As I said, we are the first sex.
Yeah.
There's no complaint.
I promised myself I was not going to say well a lot, but I'm not sure what to say next. Also, sex, would have to be, as we talked about it last week, is like a good cardiovascular, way to get the blood pumping.
Right, right, definitely.
And especially, even older people, if they can keep the
especially
sex
older
stuff
people.
Going,
yeah.
It's a healthy thing.
Right, definitely. For erection, for the ability to function.
Uh-huh.
Of course. You come across people, men that suffer from impotence?
Some. Very few. But again, what I tell guys that have low stamina, low sex drive, I say, one, we need to get rid of the pain. Two, I encourage them to strengthen their abdominal muscles because, again, a lot of the...
People don't really understand.
They don't realize
to do with
how
it.
Much is involved in...
Oh, yeah.
Involving your abdominals. So
right.
Having a strong core is essential for a great sex. So, guys, you want better sex?
Please work on your
abdominals. Work on your cores. Exactly.
And you find that within a very short period of practicing, it can change? Or is it something that involves a lot of work?
Well, with everything, if you
it's
haven't,
relative.
If you've been suffering for many, many years versus something that's acute, and also depending on your shape, your health, your condition, your nutrition, your lifestyle, all that plays
right.
a very important role.
What did you want to say, Dave?
Well, I used to work out a lot. I used to work out 2 or 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that is a lot.
And, over the last year, I haven't had the opportunity because I used to work on UCLA campus, and the gym was right there at work.
Well, and it's probably a good gym, too.
Yeah, a lot of kids. But the thing was, I had the kind of job where I could disappear for an hour, and nobody would know.
Nobody would notice.
Yeah, and I would be in the gym.
That's nice.
And then I would say, well, I was, working, doing something, delivering a package or something.
Yeah.
But now, this last year... The whole year I worked out 3 times. So I had to rejoin my gym and I worked out 3 times in January, nothing in February, so far nothing in March. It's almost the end of March. I got to get
and
back.
You're
in the,
what's going on?
And then I was promising myself I was going to do more sit-ups. I did it one time.
I did it once.
Yeah, I did it one time and it was
maybe not.
it takes some discipline, you know. I think that, you know, overall, look, how can you say it's not good? It's good for your health.
No, of course.
You'll live longer, and you'll have a better life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to talk about sit-ups since he brought it up.
Yeah, please.
One, I'm not a big believer of sit-ups. I encourage my clients to do crunches, reverse crunches.
Why is it better?
Because, again, what happens is most people don't know how to do a correct sit-up, and the sit-up
they
is...
They fuck up their back.
Their neck.
Okay,
They're basically doing a neck up.
A neck up. That sounds really sexy. I like it, neck up.
So, again, when you're lying on your back and you're doing a reverse crunch, you're always isolating your back, and your back is in a neutral position.
Right.
You're involving your abdominals, and that's
so it's a better,
it's a much
choice.
Better, right. Much more effective at isolating the ab muscles. And again, it's going to improve the sex.
Your ability
to.
And
form.
It can prolong an encounter if you.
Again, the more stamina you have, the more.
And your ability
exactly.
also to sustain.
To sustain
an erection and the whole
longer.
To have a better
right.
more energy.
Yes.
Exactly.
What is I'm going to take Tim in a minute, but a lot of things there look very suspicious, but they're smaller. They're like a small, this looks like a small butt plug, but a small one. I don't know, like a butt plug for like a bird.
this is actually one of my custom-made tools. I've got several. They have different tips on them, but basically I use them to target different points on the body, mm-hmm. even the back of the neck. And, if you've been in a sex shop, you might think this looks like a butt plug.
It's a small one.
Therapeutic,
yeah. It's like very targeted point.
Could you use like your knuckle, let's say? Or?
You could use your knuckle, but when you're working, you know, 6-8 hours straight like I am, you know, my knuckle would wear out after a couple hours. So I'd rather use my tool. We got another one right here. It's also
something that.
This is also one of my tools. I have others that I keep in the freezer.
I'm
able to put in the freezer and
oh, so you cool it.
Really? This cool one it. Is not necessarily cooled. I can just target a certain area or
But
roll.
You're able to cool it if you want.
You could, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my many custom-made tools.
Interesting. Yes, Dave?
That's one, that's another disease that I've been able to avoid is carpal tunnel. Because, I mean, I work on a computer all
right,
day.
Right, it's a lot of pressure.
I did actually, when I was delivering mail for a long time, and I did, I would get like foot pain, you know, because walking all
right,
day.
Right, plantar fasciitis, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's gone now, because I've been sitting. But I would also get like pain in my whole forearm from like lifting packages and stuff. And that's gone, I mean, to the point where, like, to pick up a coffee cup would, like, it would send, like a rush of
signals,
pain.
Signals, yeah, pain signals.
Can you imagine what it is to give a hand job to a guy?
No, I don't want to think about it.
I mean, because you're complaining.
Speaking of carpal tunnel and hand jobs, that's the other thing. Guys, if you're doing a lot of hand jobs on yourself or whatever, self-masturbation, whatever, just be aware that it's going to have an impact on your forearm, on your wrist. And it's gonna.
So it is gonna
aggravate.
Impact.
It's gonna aggravate your hand. Your
so what's
forearm.
The suggestion? Change hands more often.
I guess if you're going to
masturbate,
you want to cool pack your forearm and your entire forearm and your elbow area.
Yeah, I guess there's no avoiding that. I'm gonna take Dave in. I'll hear you in a minute. I just want to welcome Tim.
Tim.
Thank you.
How are you?
You wacky guy.
What's going on? It's good to have you on.
Speaking of wacky, when if you're talking about masturbation, it's all about good form. It's like the man says, being present, paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was going to speak on something you mentioned earlier, which was migraines. And I've been a massage therapist as well. Since the 80s, and I also went to chiropractor school, and I was following an old school chiropractor, and I always remember one day him telling me that for migraines, one of the ways to break it at early onset is to promote gag reflex.
So you just put a penis in someone's mouth, and then it will help. That's what you're saying.
Whatever works for you, whatever you enjoy.
It works.
A finger you could use too, I suppose, if you don't have a penis around.
I know. Yeah, you always have a penis around. I mean,
but I can't do it for myself. I don't have the length.
Yes, as men, we do always have a penis around.
Right.
Flexibility is.
You're not Ron Jeremy, so no.
Autofellatio is a monster when you get older.
Yes.
It's really tough.
I've never been able to accomplish it. When I was young.
It sounds like a challenge. And I've come across Ron Jeremy in person.
I have too. I've met him three times.
Yes.
He's
an experience.
He's rather girthy and hairy. But kind of a nice guy.
He was doing that. He was blowing himself.
Yes, he was blowing himself. Yes.
I think his neck might have been. He's got a big belly now, so there's no telling.
Yes, it's hard to get to it right now, I guess.
He had a health problem last year. He had a aortic aneurysm.
And
he drove himself to Cedar Sinai, and I hope he's doing well, because, I mean, he seems like a nice guy.
He was driving that car. Yes, no, I'm sorry, Jeremy. Ron Jeremy. No, but seriously. Tell me, Tim, did you ever come across pain after an intense, encounter with a man or a woman?
No, but I will.
No.
Chafing. Does that count?
Dry skin, like itching,
rug burn.
No, dry penis skin on a dry vag.
On a dry vag. That's a terrible thing to say.
It's not because she wasn't stimulated. Maybe, of course. Well, she could have been. Women hold stuff back. That's the thing. In sex, men and women, we're not. There, oftentimes, you avoid being honest because you don't want to hurt your partner's feelings.
Oh, right.
If you're not in the mood, or if you're not stimulated, or so communication is
key. But, absolutely.
If I can tell a personal story,
please.
I don't have that many, but I was with this girl for quite a while, and it was very depressing to me because she was on Prozac.
Okay.
And
that kills your libido.
Try as I might, I used tools, I used my tongue, I did everything I could. In five months, she was honest with me. She said, "No, I didn't come."
Climax.
And it's like, and it made me feel like shitty.
Incompetent.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was like, I thought I was doing everything right.
Yeah.
And
you were.
I felt bad. And like, even when she would like try to self-stimulate herself with a vibrator or something.
She wouldn't climax at all, even via masturbation.
No, she was kind of like, it cuts off, you know, certain like connections, right?
Yeah, Prozac is known to kill your libido as well. And it's very hard to climax.
She was very beautiful and it just kind of made me depressed because, you know, it's like I've got low self-esteem anyway. I did everything I could.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that was kind of like, she finally broke up with me. So, but it was like, you know what? It's all right. Fine. Let's see it.
I'm sorry. Are you sure you did everything? Because a lot of times we think we've done everything we can. That's within the parameters.
But he asked, and he asked her, right? You asked if you can do anything else.
I will take direction if you know, because I had this I
but
told
will
you
she give direction. A lot of times people will not say, hey, look, because so that's one of the big problems, and it's a good point that you bring up.
Did you ever
might,
come
you
across
might take
somebody
direction,
yeah
but your partner might not feel comfortable saying, hey, look, would you
would you do this
my
or that
bottom, or would you
of course
my
I mean of course you would
longer?
Say that.
Or spank me, or a lot of people are uptight about.
Yeah,
I was open to you know.
Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is that most women have issues with climaxing this time or another throughout their lives, and many women suffer from a complete, you know, situation where they can't climax at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but who cares? As long as I orgasm, is that the bottom
my
line?
My God.
I think you finally said something, Tim, that makes sense.
As long as I'm in that, one of those holes, there's three of them.
Oh, my God. Hold that thought. Stay in this hole, Tim, for a minute. Yes.
I think Tim brought a good point, is communication. Your partner needs to know if you have migraines, how serious you are, if you have TMJ.
Right.
All serious, if you have back
pain. If you're in pain, they need
and
to know.
You need to communicate that because there's certain days or certain times it's more inflamed
intense.
And more intense than others.
Right.
And that might not be the right time to ask for the blowjob or the acrobatic tricks.
So that has to do also with the hormonal. Hold on, Tim.
Tough to pull off?
Hold on for just a second.
Having her open her mouth to put something in it, is that a big deal? A lot of times they're too tired.
I'm of course kidding. Totally with you.
No, but the thing is that does that depend on the hormonal cycle or
it can be a number. It can be the hormones are off. It can be, they're going through menstruation and their menstruation is more intense than most people. It could be their jaw is just aggravated because they've been under a lot of stress that day. So that has to be communicated, and your partner needs to be sensitive to that because there's some days where it's really bad, and that's going to be the day when your partner says, not today.
Honey, I have a headache.
And really mean it.
Yeah, no. I mean, of course you need to be sensitive about these things, but I want to ask all three of you guys.
There's three of us?
Yes. Tim is on the phone.
Oh, Tim. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Right. No, Tim is great. I love Tim.
Of course. Tim, yeah, you too, Tim. So I want to ask you, and this is interesting. Who do you think is having more sex? People, women in a partnership, women in a relationship, or single?
Ooh.
Out and about.
You need more qualifiers because new couples have it more often. Older couples,
in general, let's try to say an average couple that is in good communication, having modest sex, not bad or not good. Who will have more, this couple or a woman that is single and goes out on a town and finds a guy and fellates him? I don't know.
I think when a relationship is new, there's a lot more activity. And then, it's kind of like familiarity breeds contempt. It just becomes...
monotony and monogamy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think single women that are, available, the numbers are in their favor. They're going to be more likely to have more sex than a single guy that's... On the prowl.
Okay.
Are you talking about going out and meeting, one-nighters, that kind of a thing?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever amount of sex a month, a week, how many encounters do women in a relationship have more, or single women?
Well, you're a woman. I mean, you've been single and you've been married, right?
Yes,
and,
I've been married.
And now you're
single
in a relationship.
Yes.
So, in your experience, have you...
Of course, I have the results. I'm just asking you guys to see how you feel about it. So what did you say, Tim? Do you think that women...
I think couples, because it's there.
Couples.
And it's always available. And
right. Well, it's always available, but then there's the factor... I'm just saying, of course, I'm going to bring the right results that I've read about, but there's also the factor of, as Dave said, monotony and monogamy.
One letter difference.
Yes. So the thing is, the results say that it's very similar. The numbers are very close. But that women in a relationship, in a partnered sexual relationship, have a slightly more chances of encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny and interesting because this was in a long study that they examined over a period of time. The people have been together over 10 years or over 15 years. They were still having more sex than the single woman, I guess because it's there and available, and also because you kind of develop the need to satisfy your partner or be attentive. And this is in relation to what we are talking about.
Mm.
Because they went and examined if women if hormones would impact their need to have sex because, the rise of testosterone during certain times, ovulation and stuff, they found that it's only relevant for single women. That only single women were more interested in sex during the time of ovulation, while women in a partnered relationship were having more sex overall the whole time.
Really?
So it does say
that
we...
But that's such a short period of time when the woman is ovulating.
It's a week, right?
Right. No, so this is, a few days.
Uh-huh.
So that's those 2 days of the month are when single women are most interested in intercourse?
In climaxing, it could be via masturbation as well. Not necessarily even you know, partnered sex. Yes.
Procreation.
Procreation or recreation. Yeah, what were you saying, Tim?
Yeah, I was going, what I wanted to, I forgot an example that was a little bit earlier with the back, like you guys were talking about back pain.
Yes.
And I did want to say that I've had low back pain, chronic.
Really?
Yes.
From
cunnilingus.
No, well. No, that would be neck pain. but from exercise.
From working out.
From doing too many crunches wrong.
Okay, yeah.
So I jacked my low back up.
Yeah, Art said that you might, you know, the fact that you do it wrong.
Absolutely, that's one. I work with a lot of bodybuilders, and I tell them, unless you're going to go in the Olympics and be the super squat person, I totally advise against doing squats.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
completely?
Really. It puts a lot of stress on their low back.
Okay.
You know, it's always going to be stress on low back. And that's when most of the common back injuries occur, during this improper squat.
Do you find that if people came with, like, a back pain, and you were able to help them kind of, you know, make it better or completely get rid of it, did they mention that they would have, like, better sex life? Because I find that physicians, for instance, will never ask a person.
Well, I would never ask.
And this was actually my dissertation. Mm. Yeah, I was curious if they share it with you.
Yeah.
No.
No, they would not.
You know, actually, you know, I said earlier before that I don't get back aches.
Yes.
But I do get back pain because in the martial arts that I've studied, judo,
yes,
jiu-jitsu, aikido, you
so
do
you,
a lot of
still
falling.
Doing it. Yeah.
I still do it. You when you fall and you know you make a contact with the mat, the back, there is it's like a day or two of pain.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of MMA fighters and martial artists, and again, teaching them correct technique and how to fall is very important because obviously if you fall
kickboxing
and everything, if you fall flat, obviously it's going to have a large impact on your back. So you want to crumble and you want to just roll through it. Just be aware of learning how to fall.
It's a big part of the arts, of those three arts. Rolling, learning how to take a fall, you know. And
learning how to take a fall is a good idea to begin with.
But you know what I was going to say was, when I've got that thing, which lasts about 10 days to 2 weeks, there's no fucking way that I am fucking, I'm not eating my girl's pussy, I'm not finger banging her.
So what are you doing? Just laying there being a sheik?
Hey.
Is that what you're doing?
No, because the pain is so crazy that any kind of movement.
So just give me a blowjob and shut up, woman. Is that it?
There's no
hard on. Just curious.
I'm not even interested in sex.
Exactly.
I don't even begin to think about sex.
Oh, so you see,
and
that's a big problem. You felt bad.
I feel bad because her needs aren't being taken care of.
Right. So what would you do? Would you help her masturbate or?
She could sit on my face. I mean,
that's a good suggestion.
For me,
see, your altruism is so magnificent.
I'm a giver.
I know.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like it.
And I will tell you, for going down on a woman is a mother of a job. If you,
I know.
It's an endurance event. You've got to have the right position, or you're going to be your shoulders will be killing you. Your tongue gives out. Your neck is sizzling.
Right.
You're bored out of your mind.
You're bored doing this. You're bored.
Oh my god!
You're banned off the island.
Bored. You are. Ask these guys. Ask them how boring is going down. Is licking a clit.
That is an awful fucking thing to say.
It depends on how you can eat the pussy. I was dating a girl that.
Well, it depends how tasty the pussy is.
That helps. If it doesn't taste
you
right,
see?
It's even hard. It's even tougher.
Yes.
But I was dating a woman who only liked her clit gently flicked.
And it's like you would fall asleep doing it.
Oh my god, you couldn't even dig into the thing. You couldn't chew it. You couldn't, I mean, you could, but it would deflect from the bottom line, which was getting this done. So sit on my face all day long. I don't care if my back is screaming. It's so much easier. Okay.
Makes sense.
Anyway, so that you can do for a longer time.
Well, he's
you don't drool as much. You don't drool under the bed because it goes right down your throat.
I know. No, it's actually, I agree. What did you want to say, Dave? did you have a 69. Thought about 69
would be the ideal.
69 would be the ideal Y-arch.
The guy in the guy in the bottom, if he has back pain, and
right,
the
and the
on
woman.
Top.
So if she's on top, is she not going to encounter?
Doing more the, she's doing more of the work and
right,
she's
a lot
supporting.
More. But her neck is not going to be hurt or her jaw.
Her, she's actually in a more neutral position. They're both in a more neutral position.
Oh really? So it's better if you do a 69. It's better that the woman will be on top.
It depends. Who's,
ladies.
Who's, if your back is hurting, then you want to be on the bottom and her on top.
Well,
but
you
if,
can
if
change
your back
places.
Is fine, yeah, exactly.
It depends right. on what part of the back. If it's the low back,
exactly.
you don't really want to move it much, right?
Right.
Then okay. So. If you put like a pillow underneath, will that help?
A rolled up towel would be adequate.
Because you know that, and listen, Tim, I'm sure you've utilized that trick in the past. And if you haven't, please use it.
The pillow under the back, under the lower, supporting the lower back.
Well, the pillow really under the butt for women
right.
will make climax much easier via cunnilingus. So if you're,
Why?
Because it the position of it really kind of allows for the clit to be stimulated better.
Another alternative would be to put her at the edge of the bed, legs up, and then while you're standing, you can still
right
do the same.
Yeah, you know, I mean that's a good idea.
While I'm standing, so I'm tall, so I'll have to bend over.
Oh, okay.
And eat her snatch while I'm
then go on
over.
Your then go on your knees. Then.
You need to get on your knees, slave.
Then my knees will be on fire.
Put a pillow there.
One tip I can maybe give to your audience, and Art maybe you can back me up, is if you have a backache. Lying on a hard piece of wood, let's say, is better than lying on a couch. Lying on a couch
because it's
is
soft?
Horrible. Yeah, because it's got, like, give.
But isn't the hard surface is painful and hurtful?
Well, no. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah.
Again soft surface.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tim.
Soft surface might put added stress on the low back.
Right.
But
on your knees.
Yeah, but on your back, there's something that's called a vacupractor. It actually cradles your low back, and it gives the right support on your back while you're lying face up. So
it's a better choice.
That would be an optimal choice, I think, if you're going
to
do that.
A friend of mine actually, coincidentally, just today, went to a place called, I don't know if I want to plug the store, but there's a store in Santa Monica where I live that the whole store is devoted
happy
to...
Happy ending.
No, it's, well, oh, it's called really. Relax the Back. And right. it's like right near my house.
Yeah.
And my buddy, you know, he's a limo driver and a comic. And we all have two jobs. So he was lifting luggage, and he's like a little older than me. He's like 56, I think, or 55. Mm-hmm. And he threw his back out, and it's been killing him.
Yeah.
So he was going to go to this place. And I told him, I warned him ahead of time, my dad's been there, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
Some of these, you know, like they have furniture and stuff like that. That like can, they have different kinds of chairs and stuff. And so I just kind of, you know, gave him a heads up that, you know, it's like you might be out $300 or $400 on some piece of equipment or something.
Here's something very simple.
Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
two tennis balls, place them in a tube sock, place them on the floor, lie on your back, place them right above your waistline, knees bent, arms to the side. Lay there for 5 to 10 minutes. That'll give you
relief?
Give you quite a bit of back relief.
Really?
Really.
Hmm. If you do it daily?
You can do it maybe twice a day.
Wow.
Even while driving, you can place two tennis balls.
Even while you're getting a blowjob.
Well, if you're lying face up, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. What were you going to say, Tim? I feel like we...
I was going to say, instead of all the jumping through hoops, with vaccine, how about you just give her the vibrator? I'll take my muscle relaxer.
And just play with yourself. It's true. That could be a solution too, but I'm sorry. What were you gonna say?
Tennis ball in the sock
trick.
Works great.
That for years. It's a great idea.
Oh, you have been doing it. Okay, so you're knowledgeable.
There's a lot of things that you can lay on it, and it's got some give. It's softer. You've got to knot them down so they're tight, and then one is on each side of the spine. And you can kind of move it up and down. And, that's a really great idea.
Yeah.
I'm glad he brought that up.
As
I've never used one while getting a blowjob, but...
try it. I encourage you.
Why not?
69.
Do you, do you treat people that complain about sweating excessively or...
When you say sweating, are you talking about palm sweat or just
sweat in general?
I think the medical term is ephoresis.
No.
Okay.
What about ball sweat?
Ball sweat as well. Very good,
Tim. Smells
bad. No, but I want to say something about that sweat. But before, I want to ask Art if he comes across.
For palm sweat, it would just be, I'd recommend that they use lemongrass oil on the palms.
Okay, but no actual thing that you can, a therapy that you can use.
Not that I've ever, I've never treated that, no.
Okay.
Because, what's wrong with sweat?
What?
Man, I was with this guy, and he sweated right onto my face once. It was so
God. Well, it was great?
No, it was gross.
Oh, gross. Okay. I didn't hear. I was like, it was great.
Well, I've grossed out myself with my own smells. like I wake up in the morning sometimes and take
like,
a leak, and it's like, whoa, where
on?
Did that come from? You know, guys are disgusting.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I mentioned it because I want to say that they had like an interesting study about, you know, animals have the ability to attract other counterparts with their pheromones.
Pheromones, right.
But the question is, if humans, because we have so many smells around that are artificial and we lost a lot of our abilities when it comes to, you know, the sense of smell, they were questioning if really can men draw women in using their sense of smell.
Now, I heard you look at the human body.
Yeah.
The way hair is patterned on a human body, mm-hmm. why is there a patch of hair right above the genitals of men and women? The theory is that it catches odors and sweat,
right.
which attract mates.
Right.
Or flies.
Or flies. No, but
in
it
my
does
case, flies.
It is true. It is true.
So
that's a...
crabs.
Right, oh, crabs.
And I happen
Correct.
To know that eyebrows—the reason for eyebrows—is
to
the catch.
Same, right?
Well, it's to
not
catch
fall
sweat
into your eyes.
Exactly.
Correct. But the thing is, what they did in a nutshell—I'm not going to go into the whole thing—that what they did, they asked 20 heterosexual men to stop using deodorant, which is really intense for like a week or so, and then they asked them to put a little piece of cotton ball under their armpit while they were watching porn. Because they were gonna, you know, and then, of course, they collected the same sweat while they were just doing, you know, running or doing something, some other activity. And then they collected 20 very brave women and had them sniff it. The pad from their armpit while they were masturbating to porn, or the same pad from when they were running. And the conclusion was, yes, in fact, women found the sweat that came from the masturbation theme from their pornography viewers, they found it much more alluring and much more enticing. And it actually kind of opened up the right hemisphere, you know, cortex, actual areas around the brain that are responsible for smell and emotions and you know, all of the above. And women found it much more alluring and you know, could really kind of use it as something that was almost like an aphrodisiac.
That's very interesting to hear that because me personally, I feel more confident when I smell clean after I've taken a shower and I
right when you don't smell
and
the sweat.
I feel at my best.
You feel right.
I make a point of bathing before I come to this show because you're a woman and she's a woman over there and I don't want to gross out anybody.
But the thing is, so you see, Tim, you wanted to comment?
Sex smell. Smell of or during sex. The smell of balls.
Yes.
The smell of the vagina.
The smell of balls, the smell of vagina.
The smell of the penis. They have a scent that is part of it, and it's a nice part of it.
Of the sweat.
Not necessarily the sweat.
Okay.
It's a nice
Just the secretions, you're saying.
It's a nice thing. It's a nice part of the experience. If it's not too intense,
yes.
Like you were saying.
I agree.
Not 3 days without a shower or period.
Yeah.
Period pussy time. That kind of a thing.
Period pussy time. That's like a That's like a new notion. What does that mean? So if a woman is menstruating, that's what you're referring to? That's that, that it smells?
That won't stop me from intercourse.
I didn't think so.
But nothing stops.
Yeah, but?
No, that's not true. But but the scent is strong. And in some ways, it is not as easy to maintain an erection for me because it is a very strong scent. The look of it doesn't stop me.
So you can have sex with a menstruating woman, and her blood can be all over your dick, but you're not going to be bothered by it just by the smell of it?
Yes, the smell of it can
that's interesting.
Have an effect. And no, I don't mind it being all over.
Okay.
I'm probably not going to eat it. Period sex isn't really my thing.
Okay.
In truth, it's actually just like extra lube.
Okay, yeah, it is. And I have to say, the women, brave women, I mean, I find the menstrual sex a very appealing thing.
Really?
Yes. And I think it helps relieve cramps and a lot of other factors that come into place when a woman is menstruating. Honestly, it just depends on the level of comfort that the man has with it. But yeah. Please
just
go.
Put
ahead.
A towel down.
Yeah.
And hold on.
Here's
Tim.
One for Tim too, yeah. Since he's a therapist.
Yeah.
I've worked with women that have had severe
menstruations. Right.
And massaging the pubic bone area where the ab muscles attach, you're going to find there's some trigger points in there. You free those up and cool pack those. The menstruation will be much more bearable, more pleasant.
So they're not bleeding as much.
Well, I don't know if it's going to help with the bleeding, but at least it's going to help with the discomfort
pain.
And the bloating.
Right,
it'll,
and the pain.
It'll subside. And, of course, I'd say cool pack as opposed to a hot pack, because hot packs can bring more blood flow to that area.
Right.
You want to reduce inflammation.
Interesting.
And cold.
Interesting.
Oddly, I try to stay away from the pussy.
When are you trying to get away from the pussy?
When I've done massage, because you've got to maintain, you've got to really be careful.
Yeah,
if they come in and say, look, help me out with this issue, that's a whole different story.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that you're not gonna have a cunnilingus while a woman is menstruating, but men always expect... No, that's fine, and that's very acceptable.
You would. You just lick the clit. You don't.
Yeah,
lick,
no, of
you
course. You don't go.
A bucket of.
Right, but
food.
Some men are like, it's aversive to them to just come close to that area while a woman is menstruating. But on the same, by the same token, men always expect women to feel comfortable with sperm. Right? You know, with the ejaculation of sperm or, you know, even swallowing sperm.
Well, usually, in my experience, I've done protected sex.
Yes. So there's no sperm around.
Right. Well,
it all ends up in a condom.
In the latex thing, and then it goes in the garbage.
Yes.
Or, you know. I mean, I've had a couple of experiences. This one girl, she really kind of insisted that I did not use a condom. She didn't like it.
Right.
And then I was paranoid she's going to get pregnant. Oh, my God. And then I'm going to have to raise a kid, some brat, chase him around the house.
You went overboard and you went crazy that you have a kid
already.
Well,
I was into her, and so I did it and without the condom. But, I mean, for most of my life, I've used protection.
Right.
But the point that I was going to mention, I did this one girl, the same girl, actually.
Yeah.
I did go down on her one time when she was having
menstruating.
Her, yeah.
Yes.
And she had the string coming out of the
tampon.
Right, of the tampon coming out of the vagina. And I just had this thought that what if I pulled the string out in it? Like
it's going to flush out.
No, I thought confetti would fly out. Like one of those party
favors.
I'm doing shtick. Yes, I'm just trying to be funny.
I like that idea. It sounds very...
You could have washed your teeth.
You could have just done it. Yeah. The thing is, the reason I mentioned it was because they were trying on one study. They were trying to actually check if they can have unprotected sex, if women can have unprotected sex with men and still avoid getting pregnant by doing some sort of mutation to the sperm, by creating a situation where almost like a male birth control.
Huh.
Where they can have, because a lot of women claimed, and this is, I don't know if it's completely universal, but a lot of women do, and I come across this even in my practice, that women prefer to see the sperm.
Is that right?
To see the ejaculation.
So thumb.
Yeah, like the woman that you said that you had sex with. She preferred not to use a condom.
Well, she said she was not ovulating at that time.
Right, but
so
a woman can get pregnant at any time.
And then she goes, I trust you.
Vasectomy, a vasectomy, you can still do that.
Right, but a lot of men don't want to get a vasectomy. My point is that they were trying to, and this is referring to even a point that we mentioned last week with Tim, that Tim said he was practicing tantric sex and he didn't ejaculate. And a lot of men claimed that they needed to ejaculate. It helped them. It was disconcerting if they felt, you know, that they didn't ejaculate, it made them feel bad. So they were trying to create that mutation that will create the ability to actually ejaculate, but not sire kids because of it. What they did is they actually stopped a receptor that was not really, I'm not going to go into the whole medical term, but it wasn't really transferring. It stopped the movement of the sperm.
Oh. A lot of girls like to see it because they
feel it's a reward.
They feel like they took care of their man's needs. They feel like they made their man satisfied.
Right. Just it's like it's very much like a female climax that it works well for a man.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why I quit, because my girl at the time wanted to know that she was pleasing me.
Right.
That's why I quit tantric.
Tantric sex. Correct. It's very true. And I, on that note, I want to say that for all the women that have the tendency to fake orgasms, I understand you doing it for your guys, but it's a shame.
And, no, it's not. Well, you know, I don't like it at all.
Here's
the idea.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Tim, turn around. I'm going to spank you. Yeah.
I know there's another reason why they want to see
you. You can lie to me all day long.
Hold on. Yes, Art.
I'm messing with you.
Yes. Hold on, Tim. Hold on. Yes, Art.
There's another reason why women want to see the ejaculation.
Right.
They want to measure the amount to see if this person used or had sex during the week with other persons.
Oh, okay.
There's a smaller amount.
Really?
That is very true. No, it is true. It is true in an evolutionary way. It is true that men, you know, that's kind of a proof of if they had sex with someone else or via masturbation. You know, some women are kind of uncomfortable with it. What did you want to say, Tim?
They're always watching us and spying on us.
Of course. I mean, it's the gyno police. This is what we're here for. Yes.
I had one girlfriend who wanted me to fuck her to get her period started.
Really?
Okay, she wanted to be fucked into her menstruation.
Yeah, because it wasn't coming, and so that would work.
Unplug
for her.
It.
I'm not even kidding.
Yes, it's like, you know, it's like before birth. You know, it helps if you have sex right before birth.
And plenty of women like to swallow. The problem with it is it doesn't always taste good.
Right, and that could be manipulated via food and
different diet
and different consumption of different foods. Well,
what food do you recommend?
I recommend, we don't have a lot of time, but I do recommend anything that is citrus fruit.
Huh.
It does help, and not anything that is bitter or too spicy. Right,
asparagus.
All of these
Mexican food.
All of these things, yeah, they can really create, and that applies for both sexes. I mean, women.
What about Israeli food?
Israeli food is a little intense. Yes,
very spicy.
Because it's very similar to
matzo ball.
It's middle. No, that's Jewish food. Jewish food is very different from Israeli
matzo
food.
Matzo ball soup.
Oh,
yes,
wonderful.
That is wonderful.
Your jizz, it'll taste like $1 million.
Canters in Fairfax.
I know. Well, on that note, I want to thank all of you. And please, Art, please mention how anybody can reach you.
Sure. My website is www.sportsmassageextreme.com. I'm here in downtown Los Angeles. Pleasure.
Okay, excellent.
Tim, nice speaking with you. And Art, nice meeting you.
Yes.
And Dr.
Tim, thank you so much. Thank you so,
so
much for coming
here
on the show. Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Art. And
thank you
everybody,
us
for listening. And we'll have you again next time. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman. Bye.
Awesome. Have a great week.
Bye.